This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Last week, I read out Psalm 46. I just want to read that out again, just so it locks in our minds and hearts. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I don't know about you, but every time I'm reading that nowadays, something's jumping in me, something's leaping in me. Remember I talked about that scripture, and I talked about where God says to be still, even though the whole earth is being moved, that the oceans are raging, the people, talking about the nations of the earth, the peoples, there's this raging, there's this turmoil, there's this whole unsettling of all the nations and all the kingdoms are being shaken and God's doing something. And in the midst of all that, when mountains may fall into the sea, God's talking about this river that's flowing that'll make glad the city of God. Now, where's the city of God? We're the city of God. We're the house of God. We're the tabernacle of God. No wonder the Bible says, how awesome is this place? This place. You and me. How awesome is this place? It's none other than the house of God, and this is a gateway of heaven. And I was just thinking all those prayers this morning, praying for heaven, all the songs, praying for heaven to come down on earth. You and I are the gateway for it. So he says, in the middle of all this turmoil, be still. Well, as I shared last week, you can't be still until you know that you're in a place of absolute security and absolute protection. Do you know that you're in that place? And I want to talk about what that place is. Remember, I went to Exodus 14 and just shared the whole story there of God's people, Israel. They're in Egypt in a place of bondage and turmoil and hard labor. And God, in this place, raises up a man called Moses, a deliverer he's called, and sends him to Israel and tells them the great news that God has seen all their turmoil, he's seen all their distress and their anxiety and their burdens, and that he's come to deliver them. And they were so joyful. Oh, somebody cares about me. Isn't that good when you're in a hard place and you get somebody who cares about you? It's an incredible relief, isn't it? It's an incredible comfort. But God wants much more than that, because even though he sent Moses, he says, God's going to deliver you. Well, what they didn't look forward to was the process of that as God's judgment started falling. He started shaking things up. He started shaking the whole land of Egypt. Man, there were some judgments falling. You know, it's all about the 10 plagues, all the things that were coming on that nation, rattling everything up, shaking everybody up, the Israelites included. And the Bible says that it was at that time when these things started to happen that they were getting a bit depressed again. They forgot that God was with them. I'm with you. I know what you're going through. I'm with you. And then they forgot about that because of all that was happening around them, not realizing that that was the process of getting them free. He who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. He comes to do a work where that freedom comes in here. You know, so often we say, God, if you just change my circumstances, everything will be right. If you just give me a better mother and father, if you give me better brothers and sisters, if you, all that, better husband, better wife, better work, better job, a better community, better colour, skin, whatever it is. Should have made me taller, shorter, whatever it may be, male, female. And we say, change my circumstance and everything be hunky-dory. Now, that's not, never was the problem. The problem's in here. He wants to bring everyone to his place of absolute security because people everywhere are looking for that. And you see a whole world that's chasing after things to try and find security, whether it's money, whether it's houses, material goods, fame, accomplishments, achievements. The whole world's just looking for security. And the Bible tells us where that is. So the whole story of Moses and the Israelites, finally, you know, they couldn't hear that they were going to be set free. You know why they couldn't hear that the second part of their deliverance was God was going to take them out of there, bring them into a place where everything was provided. How many of you have heard the message of Jesus and your hearts responded to it? Everything I need is where? In Jesus. We've been singing those songs. Everything we need is in Jesus. Hallelujah. And we all believed it, didn't we? And then we got on with life. Things started happening. And we forgot about the fact that everything's in him. He's everything. And so all these judgments are falling. And Moses telling them about this promised land. You know what the Bible says? They couldn't hear him. They couldn't hear Moses because of anguish of spirit, brokenness of spirit. God wants to revive and he wants to wake up mighty men and mighty women. You know who God gives strength to? The weak. How many are feeling weak? How many are feeling that you're coming to the end of your strength? Oh, praise God. That's the absolute best place to be. Absolutely. Because he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Why is that? Well, so none of us can boast. Oh, it's because I prayed so hard. It's because I'm so intelligent and I know everything that God's written down here. You know, we're in a generation that thinks our strength is in what the knowledge that we can acquire. You know, one of the greatest dangers for the church, for each of us, for Christians, is that we think that we're going to be strong by the knowledge we have of Jesus, what we know about him. That's not what makes us strong. It's, do you know him? Do you know him? And I'll tell you what, it's in the middle of a shaking. It's in the middle of a turmoil. It's in the middle, when your world's falling apart, that you realize how much you know him. But can I tell you something? He is more than enough. He doesn't come along and help us cope. I don't like that word. Not that I'm against it. But when Jesus comes in, he makes us what? More than a conqueror. How can you be more than a conqueror? It's when somebody else has fought the battle for you and won it absolutely, totally, completely. When we were totally defenseless and helpless, Jesus Christ, that's what Moses and the Israelite, that picture is all about. What happened is he gets them out of Egypt. They're still so worried about Pharaoh, he's going to come and kill us, and they're worried about where they're going. Oh, I don't know whether we're going to be able to take that promised land. I don't know whether we're going to be able to go through the wilderness. We won't get fed, we won't get food, we won't get water. Oh, we're so helpless, we don't know what to do. We've got no strength, we've got to get stronger, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. How many are thinking that way? And he gets them out of Egypt and he brings them to a Red Sea. Now it's totally impossible. Good. Hallelujah. Are you in a totally impossible position? You're in a good place. Who's finally going to realize it's not your strength. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by his spirit he's going to do it. And he's got to break through all these outer layers of strength that we think we have. He's got to break through them so that we know in our hearts it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. So he brings them to the Red Sea. Can't get across there. Pharaoh suddenly changed his mind. I'm going to wipe him out or take him back into slavery. I don't know what, but he arms all these soldiers, gets in his chariots. His whole army is after them. They're behind them, Red Sea in front. And that's when they're, you know, full of fear, full of doubt and all that sort of thing. And that's when Moses says to them, you're not going to need to fight in this battle because the battle is God's. And he said, you are going to stand still. You know what? He said, hold your peace. That's a hard place, isn't it, when you think you've got to do something. And he says, hold your peace. Don't say anything. Don't spout off what you think you can do or what you think you can't do. Just shut up. It's hard to shut up. I know that. Bev can tell you that. It's hard to shut up. When you feel you have to say something or have to do something, he said, hold your peace, stand still, and you're going to see the salvation of God, which he will accomplish today because he is with you. He is with you. And they just stood still, and what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry land, and they get across to the other side, and they're there, and then Pharaoh tries to follow him with all his army. Waters come down, drown them all. All their enemies are wiped out. And then a bit of joy starts bubbling up in them. You know, Miriam starts grabbing a tambourine. And, you know, she's starting to dance with all the women. The Lord is my... Hang on, I've got to... Yeah, sing it. How's it go? Come on.
The Lord has triumphed mightily. He has thrown the horse and rider into the sea.
The Lord, he is my strength. In fact, by the words there, he's become my habitation. Isn't that interesting? He's become my habitation. It's as they, as it were, start to praise him, start to worship him. The word, the meaning of he becomes our habitation. What's that? Place of rest, a home, our home, our home. Is in him, not in what he can do for us, not in building a great church, not in great things happening. Our home is in him, and he's eternal. He is never shaking. He's going to shake not only as he did in the Old Testament there, he shook the earth. He's in our days going to shake the heavens and the earth. What, stars are going to fall from the heaven? What are we going to do? Be shaken? No, because our home is in him. What did Jesus say? Death can't separate you from me. Death can't do it. How many are looking forward for that? I don't see any hands. Good on you, Jill. You know I'm stirring. Death can't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What's that? We're singing about it. We know him. He's with me. He's with you as a mighty, awesome one. So this is incredible deliverance. And that's, so we stood still, we shut our mouths, and we couldn't do anything to save ourselves at all. We were helpless and we were weak, and he did it all when he went to the cross. Now I wonder how that song again, boast, you know, that Pam, they're in communion, you know, if we're going to boast about anything, boast about him. He's the ground we stand on. He's everything. He is what we're going to boast about, and the cross and his work. So we stood still, we shut our mouths, and we saw the work of God. And they were just, wow. And what came out of our mouths? Praise. We started to what? Rejoice in him. Why? Because in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Hey, in his presence is, and if he doesn't leave, can you always rejoice? Because he doesn't leave. He is with you, Pam, always. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So you can always rejoice. I can always rejoice because he's always with me. Remember I talked about the age that we're in. I remember a song, Len McGee was his name. He wrote this song and the words to it were this. Stop and think, man. Stand and ponder. Stop your rush. Consider why. God's son Jesus should die there yonder, shunned, ignored by you and I. So often we could ignore things. And remember I shared that often we think things that are happening, we get our attention, our focus on off the one who is the answer. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I think that just about covers everything, doesn't it? We get our attention off the one who's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to who? The Father, isn't it? The longing of every heart. Know who we are, whose we are. No one comes to the Father except by me. Remember I shared that my experience in India there where I, in a place, a foreign place, I didn't know where I was, but being surrounded by people that were trying to grab a hold of me, and men that wanted to take me to prison, men that, I don't know, wanted to kill me, and just suddenly thinking, this is bigger than God. And I remember vividly, with all this fear, hiding out in the bush, roadblocks around Bhadrachalam, where they were trying to find me. I remember vividly praying, and everybody was praying here for me as well. I knew that. And such a sense of the presence of God came on me. The scripture came to me in Isaiah where God says, who are you that you should be afraid of a man that will die and you forget me, the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth, tells the water how far it can come. The waves, how far, where they've got to stop. Everything's in the palm of hand. And I just had this picture that I turned my back on God, said, you're not big enough for this. This is much bigger than you. And I gave it my attention. I had to repent and apologize to God. I'm so sorry. Turn my face, my attention, my face, where are you looking? Where are you looking? Where am I looking? Turn my face back to God. And started to praise him, started to thank him because he said he was with me. That's what he says in the word. He says, I am with you, the one who made heavens and earth, stretched out the heavens and the earth. I'm with you and I'm holding you by my righteous right hand. And it was so real to me. I remember just sitting there, lifting up my hand and feeling like I was holding God's hand. You know, how many little, when you're little kids, you know, don't you know that? When you hold Dad's hand, you can do anything. Because all the problem's on Dad. You know, he's got to do it all. When you're holding Dad's hand, he wants us to be like that again in every area of our life, to see his salvation. Okay, now the second story is one that I want to talk to Christians here now. Jehoshaphat. I think we all know the story. How many don't know the story of Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat? Just put up your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Probably are anyway. Maybe I should have asked who does know the story. Put up your hand if you know the story of King Jehoshaphat. Now I'm squinting, looking at everybody. I think I did that wrong. Anyway, let me tell the story of King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a king whose name means God has judged. Interesting name, isn't it? And he's raised up and he's a godly king. He seeks God and he starts to teach all the people in his kingdom in Judah and Jerusalem. He starts to teach them about the ways of God. And he tells the guys who are teaching him, show no partiality. You've got to be right and true in all that you do and say to the people because have the fear of God because he is a righteous God. And so he's teaching about God. He's doing the right thing. And it comes to a stage as he's seeking God and putting false gods out of the land, dealing with the idols and that, getting rid of them. And he's doing the right thing. And then it says that in the middle of that, there are three nations that decide that they're going to join together and come and wipe out all of Judah, kill them all, destroy them all. And says over 1 million men in this army that come against Judah and Jerusalem to wipe them all out. And they're afraid. Jehoshaphat and all the people, when they hear this, this is big. And it would be, wouldn't it? Just imagine if you were in that position and you've got an army coming against over 1 million men to wipe you out. Well, you would be a bit concerned. Well, they did the right thing. They set themselves, they feared and set themselves to seek God and to ask help. In fact, the whole nation, men, women, children, all got together to ask and pray to God. And as they did that, they had to remind themselves. Jehoshaphat, the king, starts reminding himself and all the people about who God is. He says, "Are you not God in heaven? Didn't you make everything in the heavens and the earth? Aren't you the one who got a hold of us and have established us? And you are the one who is with us." He's reminding himself, talking to God, reminding himself and all the people. And he says, here we are. We're in the land where you've planted us. And our enemies, who we didn't attack when we came into this land, have now joined together. And they're going to kick us out of the land that you have brought us into. And think about it. Where's he brought us? Into Christ. He's all that we need. Isn't it? Satan wants to move you from that position. And he says, now here we are. We don't know what to do. We don't have any strength to be able to repel them. But this is a good thing, but our eyes are on you. You're in the best place. Now, King Jehoshaphat and all the Israelites, they were a people who saw God's salvation. They were established in it. They knew all about it. They could tell you all the stories of what God was like and what he had done much better than any of us could. They knew it. And they're in this position that it wasn't just about their knowledge of God. It was actually their knowledge, their knowing him. How much do they really know him was being challenged here. And so they all sought God together. And then I just want to turn to the passage. This is just part of it that I need to read out. It's in 2 Chronicles 20. Let me find it. Chapter 20 and verse 13. Now all Judah, with all their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. And it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of all these different people. Goes right back to a great-grandfather. And every one of those names has an incredible meaning. Jahaziel, his name means beheld of God. Beheld of God. It means to gaze at, to contemplate with pleasure, to gaze at, to contemplate with pleasure, to have a vision of. Who's the one that we're to gaze at and consider? Who's the one that the Bible says that we're to look to? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 says, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our portion. He's everything. So here you see, this man, the Spirit of God comes upon him, and this is what he says. Listen to me. Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Verse 17, this is the one. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And you know the story is that on the morning they get all the singers, musicians and singers to go out in front of their army, and as they sang and as they worshipped the Lord, God sends, I don't know what he sends, ambushments against the enemy, and they actually destroyed their enemies, killed one another, and they were completely destroyed. And the reason I don't want to focus on that worship right now and praise is because often we make praising God and that like some kind of formula to get God to work. And I don't want us to think that way. I want you to realize it's when you get a revelation of God, of who God is and what he has done, you cannot help but praise him. I don't want us to take it the wrong way round and say, okay, fine, just praise God. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But what I want you to realize, it's not a method, it's not a formula, it's actually a relationship. When two people have a relationship, there is something that sparks between them, isn't it? When it's a right relationship. I tell you what, when we've got a relationship with God, there is something that sparks within you, something that burns within you. You cannot help but praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God is with you. Three things they had to do. They had to position themselves. Remember with Moses and all the children of Israel? They didn't know any position. They had to stand still and see the salvation of God. But right now, for Christians, have you forgotten where your resting place is? Jeremiah chapter 50, he cries out, he says, my people have forgotten their resting place. They've gone from mountain to hill. They're trying all these different things and they've forgotten me, their resting place. And I want to challenge each one of us. Have you forgotten your resting place, the absolute place of security where you can say, I will not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My roots go down deep into him. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Not because I have any strength of my own, but he is my strength. He is my glory, and he's the lifter of... You know what that means? He's my glory. It's talking about your mouth. Your mouth always gives us away, doesn't it? So what happens in those places? What comes out of your mouth? My glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield to me. My glory and the lifter of my head. I will bless the Lord at all times. Isn't it King David? God had to work with King David. Here's a young man who gets the call of God. You're going to be a king. You're going to rule. Rah, rah, rah. Wow, praise God, that's exciting. Can't wait to get there. And so God begins the process. And, well, you better go for a lot of rejection. I'll have you hunted by your own people for quite a few years. I'll get you in a state where you'll get so depressed, you'll say, I want to die. Well, is God just like doing that? No, he has to do something in this man to make him realize where his joy is, where his strength is, where his life is. You know, we sing that song, my life is in you, Lord. My life is in you. My strength is in you, Lord. My strength is in you. Okay, that's a nice song, but is it a reality? Is it a reality in you and me? Because God wants to work. So he says, position yourself. So I want to tell you, get back to the right position. Positions, isn't position important? You know, what do you, tennis players, take your position. Well, they know where it is. It's in the court on either side. Team players, isn't it important? Football, basketball, You've got to take your position. Every player needs to know where their position is. If you say, take your position, they know exactly where to go. Army, if you're in an army, take your position. Every soldier knows exactly where his position is. Do we know where our position is? It's in Christ Jesus. We've been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything. He's our strength. He's our song. So take your position and then stand still. You know, I've shared it many times. You know, the story my father told me about the fox and the chicken. The chicken, I'm going to tell you again anyway. You know, the chicken, very vulnerable. And so at night when the foxes are out, they're very vulnerable. What the chicken does, it roosts in a high place. So here's the chicken. It's in a branch of a tree in a high place where the fox can't get it. So he roosts there all night. But the strategy of the fox is to come to the base of the tree, get the chicken's attention, get his attention. How many things get our attention? And then he goes, and then he just goes round and round and round that tree, looking up at the chicken. And the chicken is just checking out this fox. And the more it focuses on the fox, the more it's getting agitated until it gets to the point where the chicken says, I have to escape from the fox, flies out of the place, forgets his place of security, flies out of it to try to find somewhere else, and then the fox has got him. And that's so true in so many of our lives. Stand still and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. This issue is, I just want to finish with this, about vision. There are many stories in the Bible that talk about how important vision is. Remember, Jesus is our vision. Behold. All of those words, it doesn't mean just glance at. It means to fix your eyes. Think about Paul says, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, vision in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your heart will be open. Well, we've got to start to look. We lose vision because of many things. Grief, we can lose vision. Who was it? Joseph's father. His eyes grew dim because of grief. It says that in the Psalms as well. Hagar is an incredible picture of not being able to see God or what he's provided. Hagar, you know, Abraham's wife, she's been sent out into the wilderness. She's got her son, Ishmael, and Hagar, she's got a jug of water, don't know about any food, but the jug of water runs out, and she's so grief-stricken that she says, my son's going to die. She puts him under a bush, stone's throw away, so that she wouldn't hear him die or see his death. So you can see grief's gripped her, and she sits under this other bush, and she starts crying. You can appreciate she would do that. And then God calls from heaven and says to Hagar, I've heard the voice of your son crying. He was just crying because he was thirsty. She was crying because she was grief, hopelessness, couldn't see. Then God opens her eyes and shows her a pool of water that's right by her. Isn't that incredible how grief can blind us? Anger can blind us. There's a man called Balaam. He was a man riding on his donkey after a reward, and God didn't want him to go, but he's determined to go. He's on his donkey, and God's put an angel with a sword drawn to kill him in the way, on the path. And three times this donkey sees the angel, but Balaam doesn't see him and turns aside. And Balaam gets so angry with this donkey, he wants to kill it. He said, if there's a sword in my hand, I'll kill it. Even when the donkey's talking to him, God opens its mouth. But when he was suddenly gripped, God opened his eyes and he saw the angel. So many things that can blind our eyes. Grief. Think about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They couldn't see Jesus, who was where? Right there with them. And I really want to pray today that God will open the eyes of our heart. The book of Revelation, he talks about the Laodicean church. Remember, it was a people who thought, we're so rich, we know so much, we know everything about everything. But they were such a lack, really a real poverty of heart and spirit. They thought they knew so much, but he counseled them to buy that what eye salve that they might be able to see. We're in a generation that we think we know everything and we have access to everything. But really, it's not what we know about, it's who we know. Who we know. Do you know him? Do you know he's with you every second of the day? Trust in the Lord, because it's a heart issue. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart. That's where we know him. Lean not on your own what? Understand what we know about him. Don't lean on that, lean on this. In all your ways, well, acknowledge him. Look for him. Acknowledge that he's there. That's how relationships are built and strengthened. If I was in the home with Bev and I never acknowledged her, never communicated, hi, how are you today? If I never acknowledged her, that's how we acknowledge. If I didn't recognize that she's there with me and acknowledge it, just imagine what kind of a relationship that would be. I might know all about Bev, or I could see everything she does every day, but if there's no connection, there'll be no strength also. So I want to challenge every one of us, acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Can we stand up, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, right now, we still our hearts. We position ourselves where you have placed us. We thank you that we're in the palm of your hand. No one can take us out of the palm of your hand. Lord, we acknowledge you that you are with us as a mighty, awesome one. And Lord, as we fix our eyes upon you, as we contemplate you, as we consider all that you have done, Lord, I pray that we would stop looking for things to be done, but look at what you have done, who you are to us right now. You are our strength. You are our song. You are our joy. You are our glory. You are the lifter of our head. You are our portion. You are our comforter. You're our strength. You're our righteousness. You're our peace. You are our fortress and our high tower. Lord, as we consider all that you are, I thank you, Lord, that our eyes would be open, have revelation of you, that out of our mouth will come forth praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing in you. And Lord, let that salvation flow out to others, even as we prayed this morning, that fire, Lord, would burn within every heart. Lord, I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, that in the busyness of this life and in all the rushing to and fro, Lord, that we will be a people who stand still and know that you are God, and that others will taste and see that you are good. We pray this all in Jesus' name and give you all the thanks. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.